This week, I learned that today, this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday, because on this week, in each of the 3 years of the lectionary cycle, we read a passage from the 10th chapter of John, verses 1 through 10 today in year A, next year in year B, verses 11 through 18, and verses 27 through 30 in year C. Put together, these passages read, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This extended metaphor of Jesus as shepherd is as familiar to most of us as it would have been to Jesus' original audience, though for different reasons. We, with the benefit of nearly two millennia of church teaching, have thoroughly absorbed the association between Jesus and shepherd, but we have lost the association with which Jesus' original audience would have been familiar. The ancient Mediterranean world did not treat shepherding itself as a position of respect. Aristotle described shepherds as the laziest, who lead an idle life and get their substance without trouble from tame animals. Their flocks wandering from place to place in search of pasture, they are compelled to follow them, cultivating a sort of living farm. But for all of their contempt for actual shepherds, the idea of shepherds as a good model for political leadership was common. In addition to the Hebrew Bible stories about Moses and David beginning their careers as actual shepherds, Homer, Plato, and also Aristotle each describe the image of a shepherd as an ideal to which rulers should aspire. Jesus claiming this mantle of good shepherd for himself is an assertion of contrast to the actual rulers of the age, both Jewish and Roman, who are, the title implies, at the best bad shepherds, and at worst, the text calls them strangers, thieves, and bandits. There are those who try to say the gospel is not political, but to borrow a line from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, "Fodderall and Fiddledee-Dee." Scripture is evidently concerned with the way we treat each other, the way we live in community, and yes, with the actions of political leaders, whether they are judges, governors, kings, emperors, or presidents. This is not, however, the same as saying that scripture can map itself neatly onto our present contemporary party system. No matter what any party or politician tries to tell you, they are all, as far as Jesus is concerned, somewhere between bad shepherds and bandits. The problem that I ran into reading this text this week is the thing that I kept tripping over trying to prepare this sermon is when Jesus says the sheep did not listen to them. If, as I understand this metaphor, we are the sheep, we absolutely listen to those thieves and bandits. Before us, the Israelites absolutely had and followed some bad kings. If they had not, much of the Hebrew Bible, much of the Old Testament would not exist. It would not have needed to be written. And in our own day, we have followed some bad shepherds, and I can think of no greater evidence to support this than the certainty I have that not even those of us in this room could come to a consensus about which shepherds were worse. But I remember, these bad shepherds, these thieves and bandits never last. Some may stick around longer than others, but the bad shepherds always eventually fall. Eventually, we see through them and stop listening. Eventually, we realize that those other voices cannot truly offer us life, much less abundant life, and we begin to look and listen again for Jesus, for the Good Shepherd, for the true voice of God amid the mess we have once again created. Sometimes, to borrow from the 23rd Psalm, we may need to feel God's rod and God's staff, giving us something between a gentle prod and perhaps a swift slap. But there is comfort in the care that God steers us away from the cliffs toward which we want to run. We need to be cautious, though, in taking care that it is God who is applying the rod and that we are not ourselves picking it up. Much of 1 Peter, from which we have read this week and last, is about how to live under bad shepherds, thieves, and bandits. And those instructions pointedly do not include taking up the oppressor's tools in a fight for freedom, because the tools of the thief and bandit can only ever be used to steal, kill, and destroy. We are entering now another presidential election cycle. Both major parties now have multiple declared candidates, and so whether we like it or not, I clearly do not, it has begun. And so in the coming months, we will see and hear many of these tools being deployed. We will hear a great deal of the rhetoric of destruction. We will hear warnings about what the other side will do to us if they win. This is a troubling season for pastors because while the ratio varies, every church has members of both parties. So I ask each of you, do not let the thieves and bandits convince you to destroy each other. Do not let the thieves and bandits and bad shepherds lead you apart. There is but one good shepherd. He has never been on any ballot, and his voice is still always calling us. Thanks be to God.